It's time for Done Being Single with your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf. If you're dating the same type over and over again, making the same mistakes and not finding love, then you're not done being single. What you need is some tough love dating intervention, Trevor and Robbie style. Whether you're new to dating or have been dating forever, we've got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf.
That's not for you.
Well, okay, I'll take it.
It's for the people that suck at relationships. Well,
and I'm Shadow Stevens.
Happy birthday, Shadow Stevens.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Today?
Yes, it is Shadow's birthday.
Get out of here.
Yes, it is.
Our announcer.
Happy birthday, Shadow.
Shadow, if you're listening, thank you so much.
Yes.
You've made us who we are today.
Yes, you have.
That round of applause is for people who suck at relationships but try. But at least try at our, who are tuning in today.
Try to not suck?
Yeah. Who are tuning in today to get better at them.
Who tries at sucking?
No, depends on what kind of sucking you're talking about.
Okay.
You know.
I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. The people, this is what this show is about today. The people who just, you know, they have a hard time in relationships. They can't get in them, can't make them work.
Can't get out of them. It's just, and this pattern continues with them, and they go from one bad relationship to another. That's really sad.
Yeah, and I believe that there's hope, and there's enlightenment, and there's guidance available. And we have today with us, I call him the guru of relationships, because if you read his book, and he's written a few, but the last one, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, Guy Finley, it is truly a magical book. It is truly a magical, lovely book about relationships, how to do them, how to make them successful and suck less.
Suck less.
Yeah.
Is that next to the pay less?
Yes, next to the suck less store.
So when, I mean, are you aware of friends or people that you know that go from one bad relationship to another?
Friends and people. Hello.
You?
What about me? That was me.
That was you?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So I am this person tuning in today to listen to what we are talking about, because I was that. And I know a lot of people, and you do too. And you were a little of that. Come on.
Okay. I guess I was. I don't think I sucked at it. I think the relationship weren't very satisfying, and so the relationship kind of suffered, but it wasn't necessarily I'm not gonna say it's my fault or it wasn't my fault. It was just it a bad coupling.
So you don't take any responsibility?
I take much responsibility for making decisions that kept me in it for as long as it was or made me get out of it. So I of course I take responsibility. But I don't know if it was a pattern within myself that caused me to go from one bad relationship to another. I don't see that as happening.
No, I don't think so either. And by the way, I think going from one relationship to another is part of living and learning.
Correct.
And getting better and getting clearer.
As long as you don't repeat past mistakes.
Right. Sometimes, though, we do in order to get it. And I don't know. I feel like I that was me. And yeah, I did I repeated certain patterns until I put my hand up and I said, that's it. That's enough. And I want to live differently and I want to love differently. And life's too short and there's got to be a better way. But that was a decision. That's a decision you have to come to. And I did when I did.
Once you realized
that. It took me a while. That's the problem. It took me into my 20s and 30s and 40s and almost out of my 40s to get there. Some people learn earlier. Some people get it younger. I did not. I am a late bloomer, as we all know.
Okay.
And proud of it. I mean, I didn't, you know. I wish it had happened sooner. I wish I had gotten that epiphany or that those skills or tools earlier in life. But you know
a
what?
A wise dame, eh?
Yes, I am a wise dame. because of that, because it took me so long. So on one hand, you know, by the way, I make a big point of this in my book. That's my forthcoming book. It's not out yet, but I just finished a first draft.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. No, stay tuned, everybody. Yes. It's coming. The book is coming. And the whole late bloomer premise is so I really drive it home because I feel like some of us just don't get it until we're older. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. If I hadn't been a late bloomer, I would not have this wisdom that I have today. And I wouldn't have the stories to tell. Does that make sense?
To you.
I say this all the time. If you had met me 10 years ago, I don't know if this would have worked.
It may not have. You were trying to have a kid 10 years ago.
Right. I was in a different place. I was a different person. I was getting to where I am right now. And that took a while. So I did suck at relationships because first I wasn't really in a hurry to be in one. So I can't really say there's nothing wrong with that either, by the way. It's not like a flaw just because you don't want to be in one.
I think it's really important. That's important to
there's no judgment.
Let it be known that, you know, you do not have to be in a relationship to have a fulfilling life.
You do not, nor do you have to have kids and nor do you have to be married. You don't, you call your own shots. You make your own rules.
This show is for people that want to be in a relationship and want to have a life with a partner and want to know how best to do that and how to be the best partner you can be with your partner. I think that's the goal of our program.
Yes, but there is no judgment just in case you don't.
No judgment.
At all. So doesn't mean there's something wrong with you just because you're not in a relationship. Although I will say that there were plenty of times I did feel like there was something wrong with me. And that why wasn't I able to attract a solid person that had good intentions and wanted to commit and, you know, had shared goals. It was hard. It was a tough slog.
At what point was it that you realized that it wasn't the other person so much, but maybe it was yourself?
Great question. I think like after the third or when I really wanted to get into a relationship, when I was ready, and then the guys weren't ready for me. That is when that was a tough time. That was in my 40s and the clock was ticking and I felt all kinds of pressure and urgency and terrible judgment and self-loathing. It was bad. This is what happens when you feel like, oh, man, why does it elude me? What is this? Why can't everybody, why is it that everybody else can get married and have relationships?
Which isn't true anyway. That's not the case.
What was your original question? I already forgot. What did you ask me?
At what point during these relationships did you stop thinking that it was the other person's fault and maybe it was your own? So that made you realize.
Because I don't know, maybe it was just the dating pool I was in was of a certain age, and most of the guys I was dating were like 2 seconds divorced.
Oh, well, that's a red flag, I think, right there.
I know, but that's all I could find at the time.
Okay.
So everyone was around my age, so late 40s, 50s, and, you know, the single guys were just getting out of their marriages and they were, you know, beaten up and broken down and they were in no mood to jump back in.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is there a guy that got away that you regret?
That is another excellent question.
You weren't ready?
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. In a way, I was so not ready. It would never have worked. It never would have lasted. It's not like I dated all kinds of jerks and losers. I mean, there were a few in there, but for the most part, the Jerks and Losers, yes. Attorney at Law. It wasn't my time. It wasn't, you know, but there were good guys that I dated and I'm sure would have married me, but I wasn't ready. And okay. So, but again, that doesn't make me, there's something wrong with me. But looking back, maybe there were some things, this is what I'm saying, that I didn't have the ability to go inward and figure out because I didn't have the tools. And no one ever said to me, you know, is there a reason why you're still single, really? You know, maybe we should look at this. Maybe we should examine this. And I would have said, no, but maybe now in retrospect, yes, there was stuff to examine.
You know, I can ask myself the same question and I would say, no, I have no regrets. There wasn't anybody that I wish I would have been more successful with than I was. It just, you know, it was just the experience of going from one to another and then finding you. And
I think, thank you, by the way. And I need to just, as a little caveat to that question, because it's not, I mean, there was, you are my meant to be. This was meant to be.
Thank you, honey.
And I, for reasons that are very more practical than romantic, being able to have a baby when the time was right, and, you know, that's when I start to feel a little like, oh, man, did I miss the boat? I should have, you know, that was the time to do it, because then, you know, what happened. So, no, I really, what was the question again?
Wow. you've answered it twice.
Okay, the point I'm making is that, yes, you can suck in relationships. There are ways you can improve, no doubt. That's what today is about.
Okay,
we're going to help you get better at relationships. We're going to up your game, man.
But you got to want to get better.
Yes, you
do. You have to want to address it.
Yes.
You have to be able to look at that person in that mirror of yours and say,
I'm sick and tired.
Of being sick and tired.
Being sick and tired.
Yes. And I'm done being single, or I'm done being in bad relationships. I want to be in a good one.
Yeah.
And it starts with me.
Right. Right. And there's stuff to look at. There's stuff to, you, it's not that you're broken. I mean, maybe you are, but come on, people. There's always room for self-improvement. There's always room to make it better and tweak it, fix it, something.
Okay.
Right?
So yes, we are going to go to our first break and then we are going to come back with our guest, Guy Finley. So we'll be right back.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Follow the Voice America Empowerment Channel on Twitter. You already know we're full of great ideas, and our hosts have plenty to say. We want to hear from you, too. Be sure to follow us at VA Empowerment and come back every day to see what's next.
You're listening to Done Being Single with dating interventionists Trevor and Robbie Scharf. If you've got a question, a dilemma, or dating nightmare you want to share, call us today at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. You can also reach us by email, Trevor and Robbie at dunbeingsingle.com. Now, back to Done Being Single with dating badasses Treva and Robbie Sharp.
All right, we're back. And I have the honor of introducing Guy Finley, whose book I just loved. And I cannot wait to get into all of this with Guy. He is an internationally renowned spiritual teacher and best-selling self-realization author. His books and audio programs have sold over 2 million copies worldwide in 26 languages.
Wow.
His seminal work, The Secret of Letting Go, is considered a spiritual classic. Guy is the founder and director of Life of Learning Foundation, based in Merlin, Oregon, as well as the host of Life of Learning's Wisdom School, an online self-study program for personal self-discovery. His new book, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, is a practical guide that provides couples with the unique, enlightened tools to transform their relationships from mundane to magical. Welcome to Done Being Single.
Welcome, Guy.
Guy Finley.
Hi.
Hi.
So, so I read your book and it was truly magical. And I love that part of the title is Waking Up Together, because it, for me, it doesn't mean, you know, technically waking up in bed together. It means waking your ass up. Like, wake up, people. Open your eyes. Right?
Absolutely.
All right. So tell us, how did you come to write this book about relationships?
Well, you know, Trevi, Robbie, I've been writing books for several decades now. And the truth is, although it may not be as evident to the individuals who have read my past works, every book that I've ever written has been about relationship. Every single title, every angle on a spiritual idea or an insight is connected to the idea that it is through relationships that we grow. It's through relationships that we change. And the more capable we are, more awake we are to what the real purpose of relationships in our life are for, the more we're able to go through what I believe is the purpose of our existence on this planet as individuals, which is essentially to discover and grow into another kind of consciousness, understand a love that isn't conditional and doesn't turn on a dime when somebody disappoints us. So all of my work, actually, Treva, is about relationship, but this particular book is more like the hands-on version of what is involved when we get involved with people or the world itself as we walk through it.
I want to talk, okay, I don't even know where to begin. You said the word disappointment, so I need to ask you about, you say something about what happens when you fail to fulfill the role we've assigned our partners. What happens when that happens?
We need to have a common ground, you, myself, Robbie, and the listeners, in order to understand what are some higher ideas about relationships. So if I may take a moment to create a context for this conversation, that'd be all right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So everybody knows how much they love going out into nature or seeing something natural, a mountain, an oceanscape, the fall leaves here in Southern Oregon. We all know and love those moments in nature, because when we go out into those moments, the nature works like a kind of mirror for us. We may not realize it, but what we are experiencing in our hearts and our bodies when we see and feel that beauty is not just the beauty that's outside of us, but the revelation of that moment actually helps us awaken to parts of ourselves that have beauty and strength and depth and courage that we're not normally aware of until we're in a certain environment in nature where we're suddenly more or less awakened to and realize, wow, you know, I love nature. What I'm saying is I love the way nature lets me see in myself all of these timeless qualities. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true, which it is, then why wouldn't the same exact truth hold when I'm with my partner, and in that moment, instead of seeing that particular quirky smile or the way that they hold their head when they're trying to make a point, whatever it may be, that before, when I saw it, I loved what I saw because it stirred in me something that could feel that sensitivity or that gentleness. Why is it when they express something that runs counter to my wishes in the moment, why isn't it the same truth? Why aren't I experiencing in that moment, through the mirror of that relationship, some quality in my own consciousness that I didn't know was there before, but now I do, thanks to my partner? You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What this means, if we can track together, is that the things that we see in our partner that disappoint us in the moment they do, because in that same instant that we feel the disappointment, see the fault, look at the limitation, what we're actually experiencing is something in ourself that we blame on our partner. As an example, we all know when we first fall in love, and for however long the thrill lasts of that excitement that can't be with my partner enough, we all know that we look at them as being the end-all and be-all. That's what love is about. I lose myself in you because I give myself to you completely. And as we go through that first stage of relationship, we are, without knowing it, sort of becoming conditioned to believe that our partner is, in fact, the reason why we're happy, the reason why we feel good and content in that relationship. And can we see, if that's true, that we do start to become attached to, dependent on our partner for those marvelous sensations, that as our partner begins to change or exhibit behavior that's not the same, our sense of disappointment in them cannot be separated from our expectation that we brought with us into that moment. So we actually begin to have a real basis for responsibility, where we understand, yeah, my partner may have done something that I didn't like, but what does their behavior have to do with me being negative towards them and blaming them for disappointing me? No one can disappoint me without my expectation going ahead of that moment.
Wow. Hold on. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack right there, and that's huge, because the natural inclination is for us to put blame on how the other person made us feel.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about something. It isn't revolutionary. I'm doing a lot of media and radio, and people are saying the book is revolutionary. It's not. It's as old as time. No relationship can grow when blame is the game that the two people play in it. Period. It's impossible. Because the moment that I blame my partner, look, let's say, Trevor, you and I are just getting to know each other. We're becoming fast friends, maybe on a way to a partnership of some kind. And let's say that when we're together, at first it's just as good as it can get, and then suddenly you do something that hits one of those chords in me. I expect you to never contradict me. And there you are, the first time. You never contradicted me before because you wanted me to care about you, but now that's worn off a little bit, and you say something I don't like. So I blame you on the spot. Trevor, what happens in you when I blame you for a pain that I feel? What goes on in you?
I feel unfairly judged or
That's
criticized,
right.
and then
That's
get
it.
Defensive because
so,
of it.
So you push a button in me, I feel pain. I push back, and you feel pain. I blame you for my pain, you blame me for yours. And when you have two people unknowingly pushing against one another because the other person isn't fulfilling the expectation of the moment, what you have is a recipe for a resentment that will eventually destroy the relationship. We have to go beyond blame to understand the real moment when we feel it. If we can get to that point and start to understand that relationships can serve an entirely different purpose in our life, then we have a chance of not just perfecting our relationship with one another, but actually gradually perfecting ourselves, which is what the relationship is actually for.
So, Guy, using that example, if there was a contradiction, and using you two as an example, and in a budding relationship or partnership, when one person expresses something that might cause the other person to feel disappointment, the other person can say, "You have a path, a choice to take. Either you can apologize. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry it made you feel this way, and I will try not to do that again in the future. Or not deal with it that way. Help us out.
I get what you're asking me. You're saying, if I understand that my partner's in pain and that's why they pushed my button, and when they push my button, I'm going to push my partner's button.
Yes.
And that basically that amounts to war, a pattern of consistently blaming one another for something that neither of us actually understand why it's going on. We just are pushing each other's buttons. What's the alternative? So take a deep breath. Or how are we doing on time? We got a minute or two before our first break.
Right, we have about a minute, so go ahead.
All right, so I'll just touch on it, and then we'll pick it up at the turn.
That'd be great.
Look, I started by saying that when I'm in nature and I see something beautiful, that in the moment of seeing the beauty, I feel a beauty that corresponds to what nature shows me. So that nature is really showing me. When I'm in it, nature reveals me to me. Nature helps me become conscious of my own being. If that's true, which it is, that nature serves as a special kind of mirror, then so is it true that our partner serves as a special kind of mirror. In the first stage, it's a mirror we can't look enough into. Everything we see is beautiful because everything we feel with our partner is beautiful. But that is not what love is. That's how we get drawn into a relationship where we can begin to use these mirrors properly, so that little by little, instead of blaming our partner for what they bring up in us, we understand our partner has helped us see something in ourselves that is a limitation, not just to us, but to our romance.
Okay.
So,
I have a question.
Well,
we
have to wait till next break, but we will keep going with this. Great, Guy. Thank you for this. We are going to go to our second break, and we will be right back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at blog.voiceamerica.com. That's blog.voiceamerica.com. The Voice America Press Blog. All access, all the time.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Done Being Single with dating interventionists Treva and Robbie Sharp. If you've got a question, a dilemma, or dating nightmare you want to share, call us today at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. You can also reach us by email, trevaandrobbie@dunbeingsingle.com. And now, back to Done Being Single with dating badasses Treva and Robbie Scharf.
Okay, so here's what happened during the break. We started talking, and we were telling Guy that Robbie and I are relative newlyweds, only been married for 4.5 years, but I am really new. I'm just new at relationships and partnerships. So I'm learning on the job, and Guy was giving me some great advice. And go ahead.
Continue.
Into what we've been discussing, so there's a line that everyone can continue to walk with us. There isn't a moment in our life where we aren't in relationship with something. In fact, life really is, when all is said and done, relationship. Who am I without what I am relating to in the moment? And what I'm relating to, whether it's the deer that come to my window in the morning for their cob, or relating to you and Robbie, or to my wife. I've been with my wife for almost 40 years. Every last moment of those relationships is actually a revelation. It's actually a moment in which, if I'm able to be present, mindful enough, I can see in myself and know directly, without having to think about it, aspects, qualities, characteristics of my own consciousness that prior to that moment of relationship I was asleep to. I didn't know, for instance, that there was something that could be set off that quickly. I didn't know that there was an expectation that demands no one contradict me, fill in the blanks. So that when we understand that the relationship is actually a moment in which life itself is saying, Guy, Treva, Robbie, do you want to learn something new about yourself that you don't know about? Because if you do, then let me show you everything there is to see. We know the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. What do we think the teacher is? It's the relationship in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So right. We begin, if we understand that, to realize that just because my partner is bringing up something in me that is painful or making me suffer, doesn't mean that my partner isn't helping me. Because I didn't know that I walk around with that that old fear that someone's going to betray me. I didn't know that was that pain that was unhealed. Remains mm-hmm. concealed in me. Mm-hmm. And my partner said something. I saw her look over at something, and she said she wanted to buy something, whatever it is. And in that moment, what was concealed is suddenly revealed. And to the real point, in the moment it's revealed, if I'm aware of it, I have a chance to let it go, because I know it's a limitation, not just in my own life, the way it makes me mechanically negatively react, but it's a limitation in my relationship with my partner as well, because when I respond to my partner from that old, unhealed, painful part of myself, all I give them is pain, and then it stirs the unhealed pain part of them, and you've got that pattern that goes nowhere.
Yeah, and I think this is why relationships fail, because I think people bring into their relationships a lot of unhealed pain and suffering and fear, and you drive that point home a lot throughout your book. I love this line where you say, love's power to reveal is also her power to help heal.
Yes.
And my question is, how much should you expect your partner to help you heal?
Well, see, now, all right, so here I am, or here's Robbie and Treva, and maybe some of the bloom, as it's natural. Love has stages to it. There's this first stage of the absolute bliss. The second stage is where we used to see no faults at all. In fact, we'd go out of our way to avoid seeing an imperfection in our partner. Now, we kind of start to get the old rub. And when we feel the rub, we know what we do. But here's what we can start to understand if we're willing to. When I see an imperfection in my partner, the first thing I do, because it causes me pain, is I try to fix my partner. I tell him or her, one way or the other, I can do it passively, aggressively, I can be sweet and demure, I can come at them with, did you know, as if, you know, I'm sort of waiting to tell them that they're doing something that's driving me nuts. We find a way, do we not, to tell our partner how to fix, how to be fixed, how to heal themselves. Do we not?
Yes.
Yes, Mike, but then that kind of begs the question, is it fair to ask our partner to change? Is it fair?
That's what I'm
yeah.
getting to.
Go ahead.
What happens to you when, let's say, Robbie makes a suggestion that you should change a certain behavior? Do you think, oh, Robbie, thank you, I love you for pointing out that fault, and I'm going to get right to work on it?
Or no, that hasn't
the
happened.
The fault itself stand up, bow its back, and point out to Robbie where he's missing the mark in the same way, and that you wouldn't be the way you are if he wasn't the way he is. Am I making my point?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what happens. Listeners, this is a little exercise. Take your left hand and take your right hand and start to try to push as hard as you can your left hand away with your right hand. What happens when, now we'll say left hand is the person's fault you want to fix, the problem fault in your partner, and your right hand is your insistence based on an expectation they should be different. It's going to now try to push that partner into some new position so they'll be different. And what happens, Robbie, Trevor, when we push as hard as we can with our right hand against our left hand? What happens?
My hand slips and punches Robbie in the face. just kidding.
Basically, it's an isometric exercise.
Yes, it goes nowhere.
Well, actually, something's happening. The left hand, the part that represents the part we don't want in someone, is actually strengthened because we're using a force against it and actually strengthening our certainty that we're right for pressing against the other partner. So that in that moment, absolutely nothing can change in either person because there isn't room for the healing to take place. I tell a story, I think it's in the book, about a little girl. Her father gives her a potted rose, a small potted rose, and wanting to please her father and having seen done so, she takes her little rose and she plants it in the garden. 3 weeks later, she's depressed. Her father says, "What's going on, sweetheart?" She says, my plant's not doing good. It's dying. Well, let's go see what's going on. They go out together, and what do you think the father discovers? She never took the little rose out of the pot. She put it in the ground in the pot, and it can't grow. Its roots can't get down into the rich, dark earth that would nourish it. That's exactly what happens in our relationships when we try to fix the other person. Instead of understanding, if we could give our partner room to see the thing that we see, then they might, in seeing that fault, that limitation, actually want to change it because they would realize it, as we do, as being a limitation to our love.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get that. But I keep going back to... you said getting negative over seeing a fault or weakness in our partner is not their limitation, it's ours.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's so wrong with asking our partner to try to change? Is there something, that asking too much?
And let me further that by saying, what is wrong with the partner wanting to change to please her if she says something that I'm doing that she doesn't like?
All right.
Is that too normal of a resolution?
Yeah, no, listen to me. Here's the problem. You're trying to win something instead of learn something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're listening.
Mm-hmm. We're all ears.
Yeah. Here's how I'm going to get rid of my pain. I'm going to turn you into someone that doesn't produce it. I can't do that. But I can use the moments where you stir in me this problem, this pain, a part of myself that can be aware of it. And incidentally, and if I become aware of, let's just say my wife accuses me of being impatient. I'm picking something off the top. And I start to realize, you know what, whenever she says I'm impatient, I don't see it at all. I don't understand it because I know that I'm trying to do the right thing as quickly as I can. And really, it's her fault for not seeing the intelligence in my action. But then one day, I'm sitting someplace and I act out something impatient and she's working with these principles. And instead of trying to point out to me again what needs to be fixed, she realizes there is a fixed part of her that had a father or a mother or a teacher that was always pushing and crushing her aspirations so that anything remotely like it would bring up in her this negative reaction that she would then project onto me as being impatient. Whether I was or wasn't isn't the question. The point is that there's an unhealed, there's something that's not healed in my wife's heart. And when she understands that the moment can help her awaken to that limitation, because it's always a limitation if I blame people, blaming is limitation enacted. Mm-hmm. If she sees it, then she gives me room. And if she lets me see myself as I am, instead of trying to make me see myself the way I am, then maybe I see the need to change because there's room. And the only way that room appeared is that she gave me the room by giving up the part of her that wants to put it all in a pot, get it planted so that it's perfect according to her idea of a relationship.
My gosh. We have a minute to a break. I just want to make one comment, and that is that you can only – I mean, most people are not as enlightened as you are, Guy. And I'm sure that if you were to go out in the world with what you are and how you are, you should only hope to find somebody that is enlightened, or else how are you to get your partner to get to the level that you are at? And that might be too loaded of a question before we go to a break.
It's not. And I'll give you a quick answer. We'll go to the break.
Great.
When we understand the nature of relationship is to awaken us to a love that is unconditional, then every person we meet, every problem we face, is our teacher, helping us to realize the limitations in our own heart and mind so that in their recognition, we can begin to let go of something that no longer serves us.
Okay. Hmm. That is to the point.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to our last break here.
Okay, good.
And come back with more of Guy Finley. We'll be right back.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Follow the Voice America Empowerment Channel on Twitter. You already know we're full of great ideas, and our hosts have plenty to say. We want to hear from you, too. Be sure to follow us at VA Empowerment and come back every day to see what's next.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Follow the Voice America Empowerment Channel on Twitter. You already know we're full of great ideas, and our hosts have plenty to say. We want to hear from you, too. Be sure to follow us at VA Empowerment and come back every day to see what's next.
And now back to Done Being Single with married couple and dating ass kickers, Trevor and Robbie Scharf.
All right, we are back, and, you know, we do have some great periods in between during our breaks, don't we?
Yeah, we don't stop talking.
We don't stop talking. It's kind of like
we have to remind everybody, save it for the show. Save it for the show.
It's like overtime.
Because it's like overtime with Bill Maher. There's so much here. There's so much great stuff.
So we're back with Guy Finley. And I had a, you know, just hearing how you are expressing yourself. My question is, you've been married for 40 years. Do you and your wife have a telepathy between the two of you, so you know when you get to a point that there might be a conflict, but you are able to avoid it? Or how are you able to avoid these things in your marriage?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it points to an unbelievable misperception that we have about relationships and their purpose. We're not meant to avoid anything. See, that's our mindset. I avoid whatever you do that makes me feel pain. And I avoid it and I avoid it until I can't stand it anymore, and then I'm all up in your face. That's not relationship. That's a relationship based on what we imagine love is supposed to be about, instead of actually living what love gives us to discover about ourselves through our relationships with one another. And to the point, and I don't usually bring it up, but we've been together nearly 40 years, and I can tell you without hesitation, we have never raised our voices at each other once. Not once. And that's in part because both of us understand. She's a spiritual woman. I met her early on. I was just turning 30 years old. I'm nearly 70 now. We both understand that when anger takes the lead, anger is not just what you're following, but anger is where you're going to arrive at. So that the whole of this book of my work is to introduce men and women to the idea that just because somebody does something we don't like and it stirs anger in us, or disappointment or resentment or whatever it may be, doesn't mean that we have to serve the anger that they've awakened. We can use the appearance of our disappointment, our resentment, our impatience. We can use the appearance of those negative, unhealed parts of ourselves to serve love instead of what that negative state wants us to serve. Look, when we get negative, doesn't our negativity tell us that if we just let it out, get that person on the straight and narrow, that once they're on the straight and narrow, we'll be over our pain and things will be back to the way they should be? Isn't that basically the mindset?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, if that was true, then why do we keep coming back and coming back and coming back to the exact same condition? And the reason is the condition is not the problem. The condition, if we understand it properly, actually reveals the consciousness in us responsible for it. So the condition, no matter what it is, actually becomes our friend. That's why Christ said, love thine enemies. Because there's a way for a human being to understand his or her relationship with others, where no matter what it is the person does, not that they're right for being negative. Let's get that across. Not that there's ever any reason to be abusive. But we're all in pain, and pain makes us mean. Mm-hmm, and when we're mm-hmm. mean, we don't know mm-hmm. what to do with our pain except blame people for it. That's the cycle of the old consciousness. The new consciousness is the understanding of that cycle and our willingness to step out of it for the sake of love. So that instead of crucifying my partner with the part of me that's in pain, I become aware of my own pain and I agree to give it up as best I can so that I can learn about that part of myself, see its limitation, and give love a real chance, which would be my partner to see themselves the way they are, because I'm doing the same thing.
I agree. There is a, you say something in your book that that definitely supports that. You say the real reason behind the nature of any escalating conflict is we don't know what to do with our own pain.
Yep.
I so believe that. I know I can see it in myself.
Trevor, I just love that you understand that, or at least have an insight into it. Why do I ever hurt any human being? But let's back up. First of all, when I'm angry at my partner, do I actually think, God help me if I do I actually think my point here in telling my partner about what they did that hurt me, my point is to hurt them? Or do I actually think when I'm telling them they hurt me, that I'm telling them how to love me and how much I love them as I sit there and hurt them? I mean, can you see the contradiction?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Love, if listeners, you want to write down a few things to live with and think about. Love never blames. Love never separates. Never does love hold our partner's feet to the flame for our partner disappointing us. Never does love serve up a bitter dish. Rather, love always serves itself the dish it would serve our partner before it gives it to them, so that we can taste what our partner is about to taste. And if we do that, we're not going to give it to them because it tastes so bad.
Wow. I think a lot of people feel that they're bad at relationships because of unfulfilled expectations that they go in with and then realize once they're in it, they're not getting their needs met. And that they're putting too much either pressure or expectation on the partner to fill what's empty or heal what's broken. And I think that's where a lot of relationships go off the rails.
I love that you said that, Trevor, because in that negativity that gradually destroys the relationship is an assumption that's incomplete. And the incomplete assumption is that I know what love is and how it's supposed to act. What if love is not just my partner pleasing me, but love is my partner helping me release myself from my own old pains that I don't know about without my partner? What if we have a new definition of love that allows us to embrace both what we would call the beautiful moments and the bitter ones as well, because we understand the purpose of love is to awaken us to all that we are, so that in being awakened to all that we are, including our relationship with a timeless love, we're no longer looking to the other person to be the end-all, be-all, which they could never be to begin with.
This is...
Guy, we have to wrap the show right now, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find you. And
it's very simple. Just go to relationshipmagicbook.com. One word, relationshipmagicbook.com. And if you go there, you'll find a way, either through the major retailers or any way you want. If you buy the magic book, the Relationship Magic Book, you get a free download on the spot of the audio version that I read, a free MP3, a 90-minute talk on higher love, and free access to a webinar and live streamed event that I just gave where we talk about these principles in depth. So relationshipmagicbook.com is where to go to get these gifts and the book.
And I want to say, just from my own experience, this book really resonated with me because it's tough love, but it's more love than tough. It's written in this most beautiful, loving, gentle way that really spoke to me. And we usually offer a tip of the week at some point toward the end of the show. And I want to offer our listeners a tip of the week from your book. And here we go. Instead of blaming your partner for making you aware of some limitation in yourself, say silently to yourself, "Thank you. I didn't know that about myself." And that to me is some good shit right there. Silently say to yourself, "Thank you. I didn't know that about myself."
We have to say goodbye.
So it's, that was worth the whole, that was worth everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guy, we look forward to that.
Very much.
Very much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Guy Finley, everybody.
All right.
Happy birthday, Shadow. And,
and
we
thanks,
are
everybody.
Done being single.
We are,
and
done, we are so done being single.
Yeah, we are. And we will be back next week. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening this week to Done Being Single. Join Trevor and Robbie Sharp every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. See you next week on Done Being Single.